Well, hey, everyone. For this week's culture segment, I am very privileged to be in the studio, in Studio A here at Focus on the Family, with Doctors Les and Leslie Parrott. Welcome to both of you.
Good to be with you. Thanks.
Yeah, we're delighted.
Very fun to have you. I just basically dumped everything about Boundless on them in like 5 minutes, so they're probably just reeling and trying to figure out if they even want to talk to us. But no, they seem very gracious and willing to do so.
Hey, I get your e-newsletter, so I'm not
okay.
The wilderness.
I'm the one who had the intensive. And I love it.
Oh, okay. Good. Yes, I know. Yeah, Leslie was in here with me previously, so she got an earful for sure. So, well, I'm glad you got the e-newsletter.
Yeah,
that's
I
fun.
Love it.
Then
yeah.
You get my musings about my various life happenings,
yeah.
Which are...
I can't tell you I read every word of it, right. But I get it, yes.
Oh, wow. Could you please start going through it with a fine-tooth comb, Les? I would appreciate that.
Just in case you were going to quiz me.
Just meditate. Wanted, yeah. Exactly, yeah. So I'll make you feel bad. Yeah. You're like, whoa, could you please make it a priority every week? And then, you know, send me emails with comments about what you feel is wrong with my own life and why I'm still single. I would appreciate that. We could turn it into a personal counseling session.
I read that, and then I go to my Bible.
Lisa, let me tell you why you are still single, because it's very evident from what you write in your e-newsletter.
I gotta get subscribed, man. I'm missing out.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's scintillating, Leslie. Yeah, let me tell you.
Your life.
You can learn some things off of that for sure. But most of you out there are familiar with the Parrotts, I'm sure, especially if you listen to any kind of Christian radio or you know, calling through the Christian bookstores, because they have written more than a dozen books, including most of you have probably heard of, maybe your parents or your siblings have purchased this one, The Saving Your Marriage Before It Starts, which was a gold medallion winner. But you guys have written a bunch of stuff. You are the founders of the Center for Relationship Development out at Seattle Pacific University. So my sister went there for a semester.
Oh, is that
I don't
right?
know what happened. She bailed. Well, she bailed after a semester and then married a farmer.
Wow. So that was a twist.
It was okay. It was a twist. Yeah.
Did she take any classes from us?
Did
she take any classes from us?
I don't think so. No. I think it was before your time.
Okay.
So, yeah, she married a farmer who's right on the border of North Dakota, and I don't know if she's been to Seattle since. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Has she been seen since? Has anybody heard from her?
Well, good question. Yeah, the town that they're near has like 122 people in it. So, yeah, it's difficult to get out, you know, not a lot of transportation options for them. But so very, very exciting to have you two here, and especially because we are no strangers to talking about relationships here at Boundless. It is what makes many of our listeners very passionately engaged in what we have to talk about, because many are hoping for marriage and for relationship, and obviously trying to do that well and feeling like there aren't maybe a lot of great means of guidance out there. You know, and even within the local church, and we were talking about this a little bit beforehand. So you two are experts in marriage and have been for many years, not only from your own marriage relationship, but being, Leslie, you're a marriage and family therapist, and Les, a clinical psychologist, right?
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
So... whatever in the world that brings to the table. My goodness. Okay.
Why
so,
do you smirk when
yeah,
you say
no,
that?
Yeah, exactly. That's good. Beginning to have to defend my credentials. Although I have to say the 27 years of marriage that we've shared has probably taught us far more than any of the degree.
Getting down into the, one another's business, as I like to say. So that's good. Well, I want to kick it off by just asking you two, because you know a little bit about who our audience is. And I think that so often we talk to singles about singleness, and then we'll often talk about dating, but a lot of times we don't talk about marriage when it comes to singles, because we don't want, you know, some people will say, well, we don't want to get people's hopes up, or we don't want to talk about too much about something that they don't have. But I'm like, well, seriously, most of us want to get there at some point, so can we talk about it? But what would you say, you two say about... we hear a lot about specifically this idea of actively waiting, especially for women, and what it looks like to have a hope for marriage, but sometimes a hope that is deferred. And so whether you're male or female, but you're single, what would you say, being on the other side, being in marriage, are just a couple things that you, when you're talking to singles, tell them to prepare for? Or how can we be preparing for marriage, not even seeing it on the horizon?
You know, that's a great question, and one that we've given a ton of thought to, because years ago we started a course, actually two courses at Seattle Pacific University on relationships. One is just general healthy relationships, and we talk about everything from falling in love without losing your mind, how to have that, be smart about it, improve your love IQ.
Well, and how to survive a breakup, mm-hmm. you know, when you're dating, because yeah. mm-hmm. reality happens.
How to break up and stay in one piece. We talk about friendship in that class, and what do you do when friends fail you. We talk about the difference between friends of the heart and friends of the road. Talk about how your family of origin shapes every relationship you ever attempt to build.
Right. I mean, truly, the most powerful university of relationships we ever have is our family, yeah. you know.
Mm-hmm. So all the different realms, sexuality, relating to God, bridging the gender gap. And we love teaching this class. In fact, kind of an interesting story about it. We thought, you know, years ago, we teach these students on this campus everything in the world. Why not offer a class in relationships? And if you know much about academic settings, you can't just start teaching it. You got to get it approved by the provost and the dean and all that. And it was a big hurdle to get through that. Finally, we got the approval. They said we could teach it if we taught it on our own time schedule and without compensation and, you know, all
kinds
of things.
It wouldn't bolster anyone's GPA because yeah. it wasn't a rigorous course.
Pass-fail course, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they said it needs to be rigorous. And we said, well, we'll confuse them if we can, you know. And, uh-huh. and I remember we thought we might have, I don't know, a half dozen students sign up for this class. We ended up having over 250 students sign up for a Monday night class, pass-fail, not required for anybody's major. And that spoke volumes to us.
Well, yeah, because relationships are the heart of our lives. I mean, who isn't endlessly fascinated by that topic?
Mm-hmm. And that out of that, we started another class on marriage for single people. And this is a course, again, meets on Monday nights on our university campus. And same, it's still the biggest class on our campus. 250 students come into this thing. And we talk about the skills that you need for lifelong love. You don't have to be in a dating relationship. You might be engaged. Some students are engaged to be married in there.
But it's always a small minority. I mean, right. for the most part, these are just people who say, yeah, my vision for life includes marriage. And I'd like to be, you know, I love that, actively waiting. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd like to be intentional. What can I do to become skilled at relationships in the mm-hmm. meantime?
Yeah, so to answer your question, it begins with, you know, getting healthy yourself. You've heard this before. Your relationship can only be as healthy as the least healthy person in it. Mm-hmm. So that's the foundation of it all. And then, you know, you build on that with skills that are going to serve you well in finding the love of your life as well as having a terrific relationship for the rest of your life. And those skills include everything, of course, from communication. We all know that. That's the lifeblood of any relationship.
To navigating conflict, which is closely related but unique, yeah. you mm-hmm. know, because really we know from research, this is one of the most significant skills to take into marriage. Mm-hmm. You know, if you know how to fight a good fight, not mm-hmm. a fight that hurts, but a fight that actually can really increase your closeness once mm-hmm. you move your way through it, that's powerful.
Yeah, we have a lecture on love in that class and just understand the essential ingredients of love. What do we know from research about the experience of not just falling in love, but maintaining love? So,
well, and understanding how differently we're hardwired to bring, you know, each gender brings their own needs into a marriage relationship. And sometimes that can be just so mysterious. So we kind of unpack a
yeah,
little
in fact,
of that
I got to
say,
that's probably the most exciting night of the semester, because we have all these other students that show up on that night that weren't signed up for the class, mm-hmm. but they know what's going to happen by reputation. And we divide the group up between men and women, and we spend, oh, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes in each gender group talking about what do you wish that other group knew about us? Mm-hmm. And we make a list, and then we come back together, and we mm-hmm. spend a good hour sharing our lists and talking about those. Fascinating to hear. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the things that come to mind. I mean, when you asked the question, I'm glad you did, because we've given it a lot of thought.
Yeah. Well, and I think that deep in our you know, language, we talk about how important it is not to try to complete yourself through the relationship, that the more whole you are, the more you've got to bring to someone and really enhance their life. And that increases your ability to have intimacy. So we work hard with students.
And that's probably worn out advice to you. I'm sure you've talked about it many times on this program. But I got to tell you, in situations, especially counseling situations where I'm working mm-hmm. with singles that are brokenhearted because life isn't working out the way they wanted it to when it comes to their love life and so on, so many times you can come back to that situation well, we really got to work on you before we're talking about the skill aspects. We can do both at the same time, but don't neglect that idea of working on who you are.
Well, and we can no longer, it seems, come in with the assumption that singles will have had a lot of good role models. I mean, we're seeing that there's a lot of divorce coming out of this generation,
Absolutely.
Their parents' generation, a lot of fatherlessness, so they really are floundering in the sense
right.
of where do I go from here? So what would you say from what you've heard, whether in the, that's pretty fascinating, the session of breaking out by gender and stuff like that. What are some of the biggest misconceptions that you're seeing come from young adults today as far as who they need to be, what they need to know, what the other, what the opposite sex is thinking or whatever? What really is the cluelessness that you're seeing out there that needs to be righted a little bit by couples
that
have been there?
Yeah, well. The cluelessness factor. Yeah. And there is power because they do feel misunderstood. You know, mm-hmm. I think that's the feeling, the emotion. You know, we unpack a lot of the physiology that really plays into some of that because our brains are hardwired so differently. For instance, in the capacity to listen well and mm-hmm. communicate, we approach that so differently.
Yeah, and we always think that the other gender is going to be kind of processing information just like we do. And, of course, it's not the case. You know, some research shows if you look at the aspect of the brain that joins the two hemispheres, the corpus callosum, that between when you look at a man's brain and a woman's brain, they're so distinct in that area. And, in fact, one researcher said, woman's corpus callosum is like a...
It's like a super highway, you know, versus the man's, which is more like a little crooked country road.
Right.
You know,
which means that a woman has this capacity to process information on multiple levels.
Yeah, we don't compartmentalize. In fact, we are unable to compartmentalize. Mm-hmm. We're always, you know, we can be tied into two or three different conversations, whereas men do not have that capacity.
Yeah, and I always ask, you know, students, you know, you ever had this experience with your dad and he's watching TV and you're like 3 feet from him and you go, Dad? And he doesn't do anything. Dad? Dad? Oh, yeah, you know, he's like so tuned in. And so that kind of information is helpful just in bridging not only the gender gap, but in getting you prepared for the kinds of things that you need when it comes to debunking, to taking the mythology out of some of this.
And I love it that you said that. That's a lot of what we do. We want to demythologize marriage. You know, we want them to understand how to walk into a relationship with realistic and healthy expectations.
Don't you think that the biggest myth is that this person is going to make me whole, this person is going to complete me?
Absolutely.
You know,
that,
I mean, that's, mm-hmm. you know, we've all talked about the Jerry Maguire syndrome and all that, but it really is one that hangs on.
Well,
I think that's a big one.
Yeah, it does, because we're all drawn to people who have the strengths and skills and abilities that we're lacking, things that are unfinished in us. We are so drawn to people who have those fully formed, mm-hmm. you know, and it's that sense of magic that I'll get that and then I'll be whole.
I think there's another myth that says everything bad is going to disappear mm-hmm. when I find this, you know, love of my life.
Right.
And it doesn't work that way. And you know, that relationship was never meant to erase stuff from your past.
If you struggle with depression before you're married, chances are that will be a part of your story your whole life. But, you know, that not to take away the sanctuary of sharing that with a friend, mm-hmm. you know, in marriage, but it doesn't change your biology. It doesn't change your personality.
I think another huge myth is that we expect the same things from the relationship, you know, when it comes to marriage and lifelong love, that the picture I have in my mind's eye of how that's going to play out is the same one you have. Mm-hmm. And it just doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. We all come into it with different expectations.
Yeah. I like the, I think there's a happy medium somewhere between feeling like marriage is just, you sign up for it and the whole, you know, we've all heard love is a choice and you just soldier through and make it happen. And every day you have to just choose to love that person. So that kind of, well, I mean, who wants to sign up for that? That sounds a little bit,
you're
know,
not chomping at the bit for that.
Exactly. So there's kind of that extreme, or the other extreme of provided I just pick that right person, then this is going to be easy. And so, mm-hmm. and if it's not easy, then it means I picked the wrong person and either I better go find someone else or I better just, you know, weep before the Lord every day of my life for the rest of my experience. How do you help people achieve balance in that?
Yeah, you know, in that course that we've been talking about, the two courses, we have a book called Real Relationships. It has all kinds of self-tests, a workbook, and all kinds of things, and even an online little component that goes with it. But when it comes to selecting the right partner these days, you cannot talk about that without talking about online dating. And, you know, we've done lots of, we've been in this space for a long time.
We've been in this space for a long time. And I think it really shocked me, I guess maybe my age is a little revealed here, but that more people meet online now than meet at church or the workplace. You know, there's something so different about the access to a connection.
And so the question is, well, you know, you pose, how do you, it's not just about becoming the right person. Ultimately, you have to choose the right person, but is that all there is? And the answer to that, of course, is no. I mean, but that's a huge part. It really is a huge part, being wise in making that critically important decision. Mm-hmm. How do you do that? And so we kind of liken the aspect, you know, we wrote this little book, .com Dating, about the process. And when I say little, it is little. It's just a little soft cover book for $6 or $7. And this little thing will kind of paint the picture of how valuable would it be to you if you could walk into a room with, let's say, 25 prospects that all were in the same age bracket for you.
They were open to relationship and available for that, mm-hmm. wanting
right.
that.
Mm-hmm. And lots of the things that you're looking for when you've kind of made your list of must-haves, your critical list of things that you're looking for, how important would it be, how valuable would it be to you to be able to walk into that room and spend 20 minutes talking with each person in there to discover, hey, do we have some chemistry here? Is there something? Well, in a sense, that's what this has, what online dating has allowed us to be able to do, if you find the right site. And so you're no longer just meandering through life hoping, you know, you're on this cosmic treasure hunt to find your soulmate. You can actually be so much more intentional about it than you could have ever been in the past because mm-hmm. of this tool. And so that's really what compelled us to put this little .com dating yeah. resource
Well, let's
together.
Talk. Let's talk for a couple of minutes about that, because I definitely, you know, in looking at the book, you debunk a lot of myths related to online dating, which many people, I mean, I think really we're just in a season now where the stigma of online dating is lessening, where now it's mm-hmm. becoming much more acceptable as far as this is a viable option for meeting someone. And I always tell people, you know, it's a great way of getting your numbers up and just finding more people to meet. And eventually you have to take a relationship into real time and real
yeah,
space. So,
exactly.
you know, what's that about?
But it does increase your odds. I mean, you're
going to,
yeah, you don't
but
just want
to But at the
around,
same time, now yeah. I like what you guys say. You talk about, you have a whole section in the book about liars, losers, and freaks. And I think
yeah,
that when
it out there.
During my season of online dating, I think I met all of them. So I don't know
How
where that
blessed you are.
I know. So, but it was a ministry. It was a ministry, and I had the chance to witness to some of them. So
Fantastic.
I want to know, because women's
Money
frustrations.
Well spent.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I'm hoping I'll get a reimbursement when I get to heaven. Lord, could you please cash that back to me? Anyway, no. But so many women I hear talk about how they put together this profile and then they find these guys online who are self-described evangelicals, but either cannot articulate their faith or can't. There's just a lot of frustration. So
right.
what really, how do you cull through really to find in putting together good principles to find someone and know what you need to know on the front end?
You know, I love that question, because one of the great fears actually about online dating is, are we taking God out of this equation somehow? You know, mm-hmm. am I trying to take control of my desire for marriage and shutting God out, you know? And
right.
the answer is no. I mean, this is just a tool to be used, you know, and prayerful discernment and community are huge. So one of the things that we really feel strongly about is the quality of the site, because sites are not equal, mm-hmm. and even Christian sites are not equal. You know, sites that may identify themselves as that way. And so in order to feel comfortable, like that you can really get at the heart of someone's faith, their, you know, their profound commitment to live that out versus, yeah, I'm Protestant mm-hmm. or something, mm-hmm. you know, you really have to choose a site that allows that and also that screens
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that gives them an opportunity to express that in more, you know, living color, as it were. I mean, you know, so it's not just you're checking a box, but you're describing what does that look like for me and how does that play out? Am I going to church once a week? Am I going to church once a month? You know, those kinds of the indicators that give you a sense of, okay, I get how serious their faith is to them.
Mm-hmm.
But I love your question, because it is so easy, of course, to come off as something that you're not online, mm-hmm. and that's the danger of it. That's why there are liars, losers, and freaks out there mm-hmm. online, and that's why you have to be careful.
Yeah. And what is the other problem I see, and of course, I have to speak as a woman because that is my experience, and all my girlfriends who I hear talking about this, why is it that it's so easy to get emotionally entangled online? You know, I know a lot of women who meet someone online and within 2 or 3 days, they're talking to them for like 6 hours or IMing them, or then they get on the phone and all of a sudden they're like, oh my goodness, I'm totally going to marry this guy, even though he is, you know, 7 states away from me. I have not met him yet, but I know that he's the one God has for me. How do you help mitigate the crazy that can happen?
Love with that. Online dating. That virtual pseudo intimacy.
Yeah.
Can happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's a big wish fulfillment that drives a lot of this. And so you bring into that an opportunity for fantasy land because you're not seeing this person yet and you're both playing a role there in whatever you're communicating online. Well, that's a pretty toxic combination of things to have exactly what you're talking about. And wow, that's where, you know, just as a psychologist, I got to say, put the brakes on. Be careful here. Not, you know, You're jumping to conclusions because you want something so badly. And this happens in all aspects of life. Putting a business deal together, this is going to be fantastic. Or hiring a new person at work, and they're just ideal. I don't know how they could be any better.
Well, you know, one thing I love about the online experience, first of all, let me just say clearly, this is nothing more than an introduction. The whole point is move offline, mm-hmm. become connected in real life, mm-hmm. and not just in isolation, but in community. I mean, I really feel strongly that if you're connecting with someone, they need to be brought into your community so that you get the feedback of people who love you about what their experience is too.
Yeah.
So I would say that. But one thing I do love, and this is kind of the opposite extreme of what you described, but I see it happening as well. It's almost like an online experience can be a little bit of a balance beam, you know, like mm-hmm. between your head and your heart. Mm-hmm. Now, that sounds very unbalanced, that experience you described. But the truth is, when you meet someone face to face, what you can get swept up in is the attraction and the, you know, the kind of the euphoria of that without really growing to know the person. Mm-hmm. So in a way, the online site has the potential to balance your head and your heart. You're not swept off your feet by the physical attraction. So you have a chance to know the person. And I do love it that we've seen that function in many people's lives, you know, but you have to use it wisely.
You know, we're actually in the middle of a huge research project right now that involves more than 1,500 singles around the country looking at attitudes toward marriage. And we'll come back on your program when we kind of have this more kind of laid out and know more what we're talking about. But from the preliminaries, we can tell you that there are roughly 5 pathways that singles will kind of walk down with their attitudes on marriage. And one of those is exactly what you're talking about. It's this person that kind of lives in this fairy tale of, you know, happily ever after, and I'm just, you know, going to find this Prince Charming and or whoever online, and they can't keep themselves from experiencing what you're talking
about. Would you call them the romantic?
They're the romantic, yeah. We say they have the romantic heart. And that's cool. I mean, there's a lot of great stuff in that. But they need some caution flags. They need some people in their lives. They need some mentors that are going to, and some friends that are going to help them go, wait a second here, I know you're excited, but it's time to take a look at exactly what we know for sure here is going on, and don't jump to any conclusions yet.
Yeah.
Dating requires that, whether it's online or face-to-face. I mean, the whole enterprise is fraught with some ambiguity,
you know,
and takes a lot of maturity to wade your way through.
Sure. Well, there is so much more that we could talk about. We're out of time, but definitely want you to check out .com Dating, the book that we've just been talking about a little bit here, and also realrelationships.com, which is where you can get all the info on what Les and Leslie do, stay in touch with what's going to happen with this research project. You know, all of your resources, the many things that you guys have going on can all be found there. So I think it's always great just to get, like I said, on the front end of the interview, experts who, you know their field, who are talking to college students on a regular basis, obviously, and other singles as well, and just be able to pick your brains a little bit. So thank you both for
being it's our privilege, and I just want to say an encouraging word to anybody that's been tuned into this broadcast out there. I know that sometimes you're struggling in this area, and hearing two experts come on that have been married for a long time, you go, well, yeah, good for them. They already had it worked out. We just work with enough couples to, or enough individuals out there to know it is so often a matter of God's timing in your life. And I know you've heard that before and it sounds hackneyed, but it is so true. And I just don't want anybody to feel particularly discouraged because, well, I just got to sit here and wait for somebody to show up at my door. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, you guys.
You bet.